Hulu's new comedy, Reservation Dogs, doesn't necessarily look like most hit TV shows.
I've been meaning to tell you guys this. I've been seeing the spirit for a while now.
You mean like dating a spirit?
Oh, man, I'm not dating no spirit.
Misunderstood.
All right, well, he's a Lakota warrior who died at the Battle of Little Bighorn. He didn't kill Custer or, like, literally anybody because, you know, him and his horse fell in a gopher hole. He always talks about how his nipples are always hard, but that doesn't really matter. But really, what he told me is that...
Bro, this is why you need to go to ceremony.
Or therapy.
Anyways, he says we got unfinished business to do. We got to fight the Indian Mafia.
The series follows four teens from Oklahoma who dream of moving to California. It's being heralded as funny, poignant, self-assured, and groundbreaking, and nearly the whole cast and much of the team behind the lens is indigenous. But this moment for Native Americans in TV didn't come out of nowhere, according to our next guest. Monty Yazzie is the program manager for the Native American program for the Phoenix Film Festival and a film critic himself. Our co-host Lauren Gilger spoke with him more about Reservation Dogs and why representation matters in pop culture.
It's so refreshing, you know, as a Native American person to see something like Reservation Dogs exist, because it feels like it's a show that was made for Indigenous people. It's honest, it's truthful. They use language that is very similar to how Native people talk. There's inside jokes, there's stories, there's culture, there's tradition that they're all touching upon in the way they're composing the story. And I think that that means something when you talk about the experience that Native people have had, you know, especially concerning representation in film, that for the longest time, you know, Native people weren't represented properly. We were represented as, you know, these savages in the wild that, you know, that were consistently portrayed as villains. So the fact that we have this show that really honestly and truthfully discusses the concerns that, you know, historical trauma has led to, that history has ignored, and the pieces that show the resiliency of the Native spirit and how Native people, especially young Native people, look at the world that they're living in today. And that kind of thing, especially for somebody who grew up in the city, is just something I think that, you know, I've been waiting for like my entire life.
Did it feel like that when you watched it for the first time? Like, I can't believe I've never seen this at the same time as I'm so glad I'm seeing this.
Oh, completely. The first few minutes of the show, there's a couple of jokes that hit very close to, you know, my upbringing as a Native person. You can tell in the first few minutes that it just feels different and it's composed differently. And I had a huge smile on my face probably in the first 3 minutes of the beginning of the show.
I want to ask you also about, so you talked about representation on the screen, right? But this is also representation behind the camera. What are you seeing on that front? Like, are you starting to see this change where it is not just that Indigenous stories are being told, but Indigenous people telling them?
You know, in the last probably 5 years, I've started to see an influx of more Native storytellers, more Native directors, more Native actors and actresses that are being, you know, put into movies that aren't just specifically from a Native lens, but are being put into other roles that are, you know, may at one point in time have been deemed not for a Native person, but they're allowing Native people to be seen differently and for them to cross all the different barriers besides just being Native people. And I think that's wonderful. And the fact that, you know, that is continuing to be pushed along is because of what's happening behind the camera. The fact that showrunners like Sterling Harjo, the fact that, you know, Indigenous people like Taika Waititi are on the front line pushing these shows out there. And, you know, those are just the big names. There's a lot of people who have been working for representation for film and media for years and years and years. And it's so great to finally see that come into the spotlight.
Why do you think it's happening now? Like, you've seen the, you know, Oscars so white thing, but what shifted in the culture, you think? Like, why now?
I think the big shift has been an understanding that the stereotypes that have defined Native people in media and in film are starting to be torn down, and that the history of Native people, the actual history that has been, you know, excluded from the history books, is now starting to be put in there. The fact that the struggles for Native people, colonialism, the broken treaties that have happened to Native people along the line are now starting to be recognized, and they're starting to be put out there, that you start to look at how are we portraying Native people in film and media? It has to be different because it hasn't been correct for the longest time.
So I guess I want to go beyond that a step then, because so it's one thing to kind of like get rid of the stereotype, but then to open it up after that and get stories like what you see on Reservation Dogs, like some of these incredibly poignant things that are so universal at the same time that they're specific, like it, I'm sure does not surprise you that once you allowed for this, it was so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, that's the thing is about it too, is that when you get into this idea of like what film and media can be and understanding what story can be, is you realize that stories are universal and that the struggles that people of all ethnicities deal with are very similar. And, you know, while for Native people, it may be very specific to recent memory, or it may be really specific to the founding of America over the last 500 years, there is definitely a shift that is happening, and it's so wonderful. And I think, like, exactly what you said, you know, it didn't start with Reservation Dogs, even though Reservation mm-hmm. Dogs is getting put into the forefront. You look all the way back in movie history to a film called Smoke Signals, which everybody talks about, which came out in the 90s, mm-hmm. a movie that was financially successful, that was written and directed by a Native person, and that starred mostly Native people. That was kind of the beginning of like this new idea of like, oh, Native people aren't, you know, from what we see from Western films, and they aren't, you know, this idea, this stereotype that we have. They're real people with real struggles who are trying to make it in life and in America, just like everybody else is.
Yeah. So, okay, let's end then, Monty, by talking about some of the really great work that's happening in this realm. Like, what are some must-see Native films in your mind?
Oh, must-sees, you know, it's so easy to say Smoke Signals because that's the one that everybody talks about. But I do say, if you haven't seen it, it's definitely a movie to watch. And I think some newer ones, I love documentaries. I think documentaries have a way of really pushing you into a community, into a society. And there's a great one on Netflix called Basketball or Nothing that follows the Navajo basketball team from Chinle, Arizona. And basketball in Native communities it's huge. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were able to kind of ingrain themselves into this idea of like what basketball means to Native people and how it connects to their lives, I think is really beautiful. For those of fans that love the Reservation Dogs, Sterling Harjo is the showrunner for that. And Sterling Harjo has a film that he made back in 2015, I believe, and it's called Miko. Miko is a film that follows a man released from prison who goes back to his community in Oklahoma, I believe, and he is homeless. And mm-hmm. he ends up having to kind of fall into a Native community of homeless people. And then there's a lot of great story that happens out of that. Mm-hmm. And I think the last one I'll bring up will be a film that is coming out soon. It's by a filmmaker. Her name is Tracy Deer. The movie is called Beans. And Beans is following the conflict in the 1990s between two Mohawk communities in the Canadian province. And again, you talk about broken treaties, you talk about all these historical issues that have happened. I think that film really brings into the forefront, you know, some of these lesser known struggles that have happened recently. But those are three that I think will give people a great breadth of ideas as to how something like Reservation Dogs came to be.
Great recommendations. All right. That is Monty Yazzie, Program Manager for the Native American Program for the Phoenix Film Festival and a film critic himself. Monty, thank you so much for coming on the show to talk to us about this. And thanks for the recommendations. We'll check it out.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Appreciate it.